We're holding on the top of page 3, which is section 3 in the handout that you have, I'm going to begin the class in the following way. I explained to you last week that there are innumerable proofs. There's many, many different proofs from Nevi'im and Ksuvim from Mashiach. So many, in fact, that the Rambam writes, Kol HaNevi'im Melei Yemidav HaZed. There's so many references to Mashiach in Tanakh that he doesn't even bother listing them. But from Chumash, the Rambam brings 3. And of course, in the Rebbe's Torah, these 3 proofs from the Torah are analyzed and dissected incredibly. The Rebbe explains the need for each one of these 3 proofs and what each one of these 3 proofs add in a very, very, very comprehensive way. So the first proof we did last week, the first proof is the Aleph in section 2, Geula. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvuzcha V'richamecha V'shav V'kibetcha M'kol Amim Im Yihi Yenidachcha B'Ktzei HaShamayim M'shom M'kibetcha Havaya Elokecha M'shom M'kachecha. This first proof is the most explicit proof in the Torah for Geula, for redemption. It describes very clearly that the Eibush is going to redeem us. However, in this first proof, there is absolutely no mention of Mashiach, there is only Geula. And this is part of what we discussed last week, that there is a concept of Geula which is separate from Mashiach. And of course, we believe that the halacha is that there is both Geula as well as Mashiach. So this proof, Vishav, referenced Geula. Now we're going to talk about Mashiach. So the first thing I want to do is tell you where the proof for Mashiach is, and I'm going to ask you to go to section 4. If you go to section 4, you read the top of page 5, you have Erenu v'le'ata, Asherenu v'le'korev, Dorach keichel v'yayikim v'kom shevet mi'yisrael, U'mochas pasei moya v'karker kol b'nei sheis, v'hoye edem yereisha v'hoye yereisha seyer oivav. These are psukim from Pashas Balak. These refer to Mashiach. This is not Geula, this is not about redemption, it's about the person who is the Goyel, the Redeemer. Okay? The point is, in these psukim, Mashiach is never identified by name. It's all cryptic. It's all written in a prophetic form, in a prophecy-like form. So it's not as explicit, it's not as clear and as direct as V'shav Havaya Elokecha, which is incredibly clear. So this proof from Pashas Balak is written as a prophecy, as a nevuah, which you have to sort of infer, you have to figure out what the pasuk is saying, but this pasuk is a reference to the person, Mashiach, who redeems us, as opposed to just the event, the phenomenon of Geula, which the Eibishter affects. So, let's talk about Mashiach. In other words, we're not talking about Geula, the idea that there will be a time in the future when the Yidden are taken out of Golus and brought back to Eretz Yisrael, and many other things which we will address soon. Now we're talking specifically about the idea that there is a man, a person, who is the Redeemer of the Jewish people. So, the first thing we know about this person that's the Redeemer of the Jewish people is that he's a melech, that he's a king. And last week's class ended with our discussing the fact that he is a melech. What's the significance? Why is it so important that we define Mashiach Tzidkenu as a melech? And the answer, of course, is because Mashiach is a concept in Torah. And because Mashiach is a concept in Torah, it has to conform to Torah principles. Mashiach is not just a candy. Mashiach has Torah criteria. So the first thing that you need to do is identify where in Torah Mashiach is. In other words, Hashem gave us the Torah thousands of years ago. Mashiach is not a new idea which is not part of the ancient Torah. If the Eibishter gives us Mashiach, it has to conform to how the Torah was understood for the last few thousand years. And the answer in one word is that Mashiach is a king. Mashiach is a melech. So what do we know about a king? So I'm going to tell you a few things about a king now. We'll talk about kings a lot more later. But it's very, very important that you bear in mind this idea that Mashiach is a king. The first thing about a king is that a melech is paid at geder. Kings can do anything they want. Kings have more power than anybody in a society, in a civilization, including the Navi, including the Sanhedrin, including the Kohen Gadol. Kings have incredible power. But the power that kings have is not just they can do anything they want. The power that kings have is the power they get from the Torah. The Torah empowers kings to do things that other people are not allowed to do. For example, kings can make laws. Kings can make laws. Kings can create legal systems and rules that can govern the civilization that are outside the parameters of Mishpatei HaTorah. A king has that authority. Kings are incredibly powerful people. Kings can collect taxes, kings can declare war, and so on and so forth. Kings are incredibly powerful. The flip side of a king, which is very, very interesting, is that a king doesn't even own himself. Kings belong to the people completely. This is what happens to a king. When he assumes the role of a king, he becomes the property of the people. The illustration for this in Halacha is that when a king dies, they take his personal belongings and burn them. They take his bed, they take his wagon, they take all kinds of different things that were the private property of the king, and they destroy them or for the king's private use, because they were never his. They belonged to the people. And one of the interesting halachas of a melech is that a king cannot inherit the possessions of another king. A king cannot even marry the widow of an earlier king. This is the halacha. So when a king dies, the personal property of that king have to be destroyed, because they're not really personal property. They belong to the people. So there's a great dichotomy in a king. A king is somebody who has all the power in the world, and a king literally is not a private person. He doesn't belong to himself. He's considered the property of the people. So the Rambam tells you, you should know, Mashiach is a king. Mashiach is a melech. The significance and the importance of defining Mashiach as a melech is making Mashiach familiar. Mashiach's not a new idea. Mashiach's not a concept that's never happened before. Mashiach is one in a line of many kings. Jewish people have had kings for a very, very long time. Mashiach is just another king. Now, of course, the difference between Mashiach and earlier kings may be his effectiveness, his success, his reach, but that's simply a difference in degree. Mashiach is a melech. So Mashiach is familiar to Jewish life, and also, very, very importantly, familiar to Jewish law. Mashiach is a halachic idea, which of course is ancient. It's been the halachas of melech since the time of David the melech, and Shaul HaMelech, and even Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. So that's what Mashiach is, a melech. And it's very, very important for the Rambam to make this point, so that we should understand the place Mashiach has in Torah. Mashiach's not just a fantasy or whatever you want Mashiach to be. Mashiach is a mitzvah, it's a din in Torah. His place in Torah is a melech. Next, what does a king do? What are the requirements for the halachas of a king? So it's a long story. I'm not going to get you into all the details of that story, because it's not important to us. I'm just going to say two things. The first responsibility of a king is to protect the borders. The first obligation of a melech is to protect the people physically. It's his first responsibility. He has to mobilize an army, and he has to secure the borders. The number one responsibility of a melech is to protect the citizens. Okay? Number two, having secured the borders, the number two responsibility of a melech is to create a sense of nationhood. In other words, once the Jewish people are safe, he has to define the Jewish people. And he defines the Jewish people first and foremost by the example that he sets, as you'll see later on. And what is the halachic requirement of a melech in terms of giving the Jewish people an identity? The answer is Yiddishkeit. The halacha of a king is to be mechazik das ha'emet. That's his job. After a king makes the Jewish people safe, he has to make them Jewish. He has to create an environment, he has to create a sentiment, a feeling, a framework where people are going to be Yiddish because of his example. That's the halacha of a melech. The Rambam says it explicitly in Seif Perek Gimel of Hilchas Melachim. I didn't include it in the handout. It's a bit of a pity, but that's the fact. Okay, so now understand this. Mashiach is a king. If Mashiach is a king, he has to do what all kings did. Number one, make people safe. And number two, strengthen Yiddishkeit. And that's the spirit in which we are going to be learning about Melech HaMashiach. Okay, here we go. I'm reading Aleph in section 3. HaMelech HaMashiach Asad Lamed, King Mashiach will get up in the future, which of course indicates that this is an old idea. He just is another king in a line of kings. And to bring back the royal dynasty of David HaMelech to its ancient order. Again, in the wording of the Rambam, you see emphasized the idea that this is not new, but old. There were many kings of David HaMelech's dynasty, and he's just another in a line of kings of Malchut Beis David. If I may insert a detail here, the Rambam explains that there's two halachas of a king. The first halacha of a king is you can choose a king from any of the Yid Beis Shvatim. Any kosher Yid can be a melech. The limitations are he has to be male and not female. He has to be meyuchas. He can't be a ben gedim. A ger cannot be a melech. That's the halacha. But if he's a kosher Yid from one of the Yid Beis Shvatim, he's able to be a melech. However, when they appointed melechim from the kings other than David HaMelech, it was considered a practical thing, a technical thing. It wasn't considered an atzmiyazdik thing, an absolute thing. And therefore, kings from other shvatim were anointed what was called shemen aparsamin, an anointing oil that was not holy, that was not distinct from a Torah perspective. David HaMelech's family was given kesem melucha. The Rambam writes that there's three ksarim. Kesem Malchus was given to David Lazari Akram. Every member of David HaMelech's family is theoretically a Melech because they have what's called Kesem Malchus. The members of David HaMelech's family were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, which was holy. It was the very same anointing oil that was used to anoint the Kohenim Gedolim and to anoint the Mishkan when it was originally sanctified. So there's differences between Melochim from Zerah David. There's a difference in kings that come from David HaMelech's family and kings that come from other families. So this is true about Mashiach. The Mashiach is a Melech, but specifically he's a Melech from Zerah David HaShleimah. He comes from the royal family of David HaMelech. He comes from the royal family of Shleimah HaMelech, who have what's called Kesed Hil Moseh. They have an absolute relationship with the Melucha. With the Abish that created the world, Melucha was given to David and his children. Like it says in Chumash, in Pashas Vayechi, La Yasser Shevet Yehuda, and so on. Throughout the Torah, David HaMelech, Yehuda represents Melucha. So Mashiach is a king from David HaMelech's family. So in this respect, his Melucha is special. But in as much as Malchut Yehuda are concerned, David Mashiach is a king like any other. And then he says, L'mamshalah HaRishayim to his earlier dominion, Ubeina HaMikdash, he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and he gathered the Jewish people from all over the world. So here you see something very interesting. You see that building the Beis HaMikdash happens before Kibbutz Golias. Mashiach builds the Beis HaMikdash even while the Yidden are in Golos. After the Beis HaMikdash is built, there is the event of Kibbutz Golias, of gathering Yidden from all over the world. And then it says, V'chezrim kol ha-mishpatav, Hamishpatim biyamav kishahayu mekedem. He brings back all of the laws as they were in the ancient times. There are many laws that you cannot do unless you have certain preconditions. You have to have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have Eretz Yisrael, and there's another criteria in addition to having Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, which is called Kol Yoshveha Aleha. That means that Rav Minyan v'Rav Binyan, which means the vast majority of Jews in number and in Binyan, in Shvatim, you need to have more than six of the Shvatim and more than half of the population of Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael. This would constitute Kol Yoshveha Aleha. All the Jewish people are considered living in Eretz Yisrael, and there are certain halachas, certain mitzvahs that only apply when you have Kol Yoshveha Aleha. In other words, it's one thing to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a second to live in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. And it's a third to live in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash with all other Jews. What are the things which only apply when all the Yidden live in Eretz Yisrael? So there's a number of things. There's Hashmatas Ksafim De'eraisa. There is Halacha of Eved Ivri. There's Halacha of So the achuza, that the idea that every piece of land that a Jew owns goes back to the owner at the end of a yovel, if it's sold and so on. And of course, most importantly, the halachas of yovel itself. And look at the next words, ve'esim shmitan v'yevelis. All the David Malach comes to Eretz Yisrael, builds the Beis HaMikdash, gathers all the Jewish people together, and then you have the halachas of shmita and yovel. In the times of second Beis HaMikdash, and even at the very end of the first Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have Yovel. They didn't keep Yovel. Because the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, and once the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, the Halachas of Yovel, the Mitzvahs of Yovel, and all the Dinim of Hashmatas Ksafim, and Stei Achuza, and Eved Ivri, don't apply anymore. Mashiach is going to successfully bring everything back. So he's going to be a king who builds the Beis HaMikdash, gathers Yidden from all over the world, and as a consequence of having done those three things, being a king, building the Beis HaMikdash, gathering Yidden from the whole world, in that order, he will effectively bring back all of that Derech Mitzvahs, Ve'esem Shemitah Ve'yevz, and Shemitah and Yevil, T'chol Mitzvahso Ha'amura B'Teira, like all of the Mitzvah described in the Teira. In other words, Mashiach is going to bring us into a situation where we can keep the maximum number of Mitzvahs. The maximum number of mitzvahs require Eretz Yisrael, they require the Beis HaMikdash, and they require Kol Yeshveha Aleha. Mashiach is going to achieve all of those things. And because he achieves all of those things, he's going to allow us to bring, to do all of the mitzvahs, which we're going to get to a little bit later on. To explain a drop what I just said, in Chutz La'aretz, there are tons of mitzvahs you don't have. You don't have Truma, you don't have Maisa, you don't have Karbanis. There's many mitzvahs that don't apply in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, you have certain mitzvahs in addition, like Truma, and like Maisid, and like Bikurim, whether they're Deraisa or the Derabbanan, but they do apply in Eretz Yisrael. If you have a Beis HaMikdash, then you have all kinds of Karbanis in addition. And if you have Reiv Minyan and Reiv Binyan, the vast majority of Jewish people living in the Holy Land, then you have all the mitzvahs. Yes, Shvatas Chafim Deraisa, yes, Deachuzah, and you have Yovel, and so on and so forth. So Mashiach is going to create an environment where we're able to do the most mitzvahs. The beginning of this exercise, the beginning of this process by which Mashiach brings us to do all the mitzvahs is one word, Melech. He is a king, he protects Jews, and he encourages them to be frum. That's his job description. Okay? So now we read Beis, and Beis is just supporting the Mashiach idea. I'm reading it inside, and that's based on the Kutasichas Chelek Lamed Aleph. It's really a continuation of the very same quote we read in section 2, but I divided it in two because I wanted to emphasize both points. Hamun b'malach ha-Mashiach, there's a mitzvah to believe in Mashiach, is noisef alachi of lahamin b'klolos inyan ha-giyula. It's first of all to believe that there's a concept of redemption. Shakadosh Baruch Hu osid ligel les Yisrael, the Eibishter will himself redeem the Jewish people, the Eid, the Eif, and Shehu in some way. This is what we call Geula. Geula was last week's topic, the Eibisha does a Geula. Says the Rebbe, Chayovin Lahamin B'melech HaMashiach. It's not enough for a Yid to believe in Geula. It is halachically required to believe also in Mashiach. It's not enough to believe, to use the English terminology, to believe in what's called a messianic era. You have to believe in a man, a person that's going to be the redeemer. And if you remember reading Hay of section 2 is the Chasam Sefer who says if you believe in Geula and don't believe in a Goyel, in Mashiach, it's even upper courses. And then the Rebbe says in reading Gimel, what I told you a moment ago, the gather for Mashiach and the criteria of Mashiach is Vos Eres Machsid Malchus David. The concept of Mashiach is that he brings back the kingship of the David, the Davidic line to its earlier dominion. It's critical, it's axiomatic, it's fundamental that Mashiach is not a new idea. And again, why is that important? It's important because Mashiach is a concept in Torah. It's not a concept in Nevuah, it's a concept in Torah, and it's a concept in Mitzvah HaTorah, and you need to identify which aspect of Torah that we know from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the 40 years in the Midbar, Mashiach is connected to, and the answer is to the theme of Melech. That's where Mashiach becomes Yiddishkeit. And then he says in reading Dalit, Vas bepeil kum tasareis in dem, being a melech. And Melech HaMashiach is that, a melech, he's a king. But he is, of course, a very, very successful, the most successful king, entails the following points. Beinu HaMikdash, he builds the Beis HaMikdash, Mekabis Nitche Yisrael, he then gathers all the Jewish people from the whole world, V'chezrim kala mishpotam b'yamav kishahayu mikaydim, he brings back all of the mitzvahs the Jewish people had in the ancient world. He brings them back again, including Makriv and Be'karbanas, he brings Karbanas, Eith and Shmita v'Yevlas, he brings Shmita, he does Yevel, Kichol mitzvos oha mura b'teira, as the Teira describes all of these things. What the Rebbe is trying to say here in this reading is that Mashiach affects a shleimus in the way we do Teira mitzvahs. This leads us to the next big point, to the next big point, which is number Hey. What have we discussed so far today? The first idea we discussed today, I guess the big idea of today, is that Mashiach is a melech. Therefore, it's Mashiach's job to protect Jews and to strengthen Yiddishkeit. And of course, the uniqueness of Mashiach is not what his job is, but how successful he is. Mashiach is simply more successful than anybody else who was a melech who came before him. He's doing the same thing that every melech has to do, but he's doing it more successfully. So the Rebbe has the classic sikha, which is Chelek Yud Ches. For those of you who don't remember, when the Rebbe started to storm about Mashiach in Tavshin Nun Aleph, the Rebbe gave out a Dvar Malchus, which was prepared actually in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rebbe liked it. The Rebbe liked the format, the Rebbe liked the size, the Rebbe liked the color, and the Rebbe duplicated it exactly and gave it to us in the middle of Chedesh Iyar, Tavshin Nun Aleph. In the Dvar Malchus, there were four sikhs. Those four sikhs really are the basic Rambam sikhs on Mashiach. Two from Perek Yedalef, two from Perek Yedbeis. This syllabus, this series of classes, is based very heavily on those four sikhs. And one of the sikhs' theme or underlying point is this concept called Shleimus HaTeira VaMitzvah. Shleimus HaTeira VaMitzvah means Hashem gave us 613 mitzvahs. We need to keep all of them. And until we keep all of them, there is a basic problem with Yiddishkeit, with Teira mitzvahs. And one of the ideas that the Rebbe explains about Mashiach is that Mashiach is a melech who's incredibly successful at protecting Jews. He's incredibly successful at gathering Jews and building the Beis HaMikdash. And ultimately, he's incredibly successful at getting us to keep all 613 mitzvahs. Shleimus HaTeira VaMitzvah. And that's a basic understanding of what Melech HaMashiach needs to do. As Melech HaMashiach, after he protects us, he strengthens Teira mitzvahs. This strengthening of Teira mitzvahs ultimately comes down to the fact that we're going to keep, through his and under his watch, all 613 mitzvahs, which leads me to the next big idea. What is the meaning of Shleimus HaTeira VaMitzvah? So I'm going to sort of give you a little bit of an introduction, and then we're going to read. If you've grown up on Lubavitch, and you've been around the Rebbe, and even if you're being around the Rebbe is from after Gimel Tammuz, from Sichis and from Tapes and so on, that's also growing up on Lubavitch, and that's also being around the Rebbe. There are certain things that you can't not know because they were so basic to the Rebbe that I repeated them all the time. One of those things was an expression that the Rebbe must have used hundreds of times. He used it over and over and over again. And this expression was said by the Rebbe with an enormous amount of passion. Frequently, he would use this expression when he was talking about Eretz Yisrael and Shleimus HaAretz. But there's much more to this expression than his opposition to land for peace. He would say it constantly. And the expression which the Rebbe used over and over and over again was Shleimus Ha'am, Shleimus HaTeira, Shleimus HaAretz. There are three ideas. Teira, the Jewish people, and Eretz Yisrael. They are inexorably bound. They're interconnected. It's impossible for a Yid to be complete without the Teira. It's impossible for the Teira to be complete without a Yid. It's impossible for Torah and the Yid to be complete without Eretz Yisrael. So these three shleimism, these three wholenesses, if you will, are interconnected. They must have each other. If you live in New York, or in Boston, or in California, or in Australia, you cannot keep many mitzvahs. You're missing the laws of Truma, the laws of Maisa, you're missing Bikurim, you're missing many, many mitzvahs which you can only keep in Eretz Yisrael. If you lived in Eretz Yisrael, you would have these mitzvahs, Truma, Maisa, whether the Raisa or the Rabbana, these mitzvahs, but you wouldn't have Karbanas. If you lived in Eretz Yisrael and there was a Beis HaMikdash, you would have Karbanas, but you wouldn't have Yoivu. The only way to have Yoivu is if you have the whole Jewish nation living on the whole of Eretz Yisrael, which then allows you to keep the whole Torah. So there's these three convergent wholenesses. For the Eibishter's purpose to be achieved, three things need to converge completely. All the Jews, all of Israel, all of the mitzvahs. If one of those three is missing in its wholeness, there's a huge breakdown in the comprehensive fulfillment of the divine purpose. The divine purpose is only fulfilled comprehensively when these three things join together. And this is really Mashiach's ultimate goal. There's more to Mashiach's ultimate goal because Mashiach has to affect Goyim as well, which we're going to get to later. But at least as far as Yidden are concerned, Mashiach as a melech has the same obligation of any other melech that existed in historic times, except, as I mentioned before, that Mashiach is going to be more successful and more effective, involves creating these three shleimuyes, that all the Jewish people should live in all of Eretz Yisrael, what Rebbe used to call Eretz Yisrael L'Gvulei Seho, practicing all of the Tayag mitzvahs. This is a very, very important point, and this is the point that we're now going to learn. What's so fascinating about this point, what's so important about this point, is that the Rebbe is learning this into the Rambam. In other words, the Rebbe is learning that this idea of the need for the convergence of the three Shleimot, Shleimot HaTeira, Shleimot HaSam, Shleimot HaOret, all the Jewish people and all of Eretz Yisrael practicing all of the mitzvahs, is a halacha. It's a din. It's a chiyuv in Torah for all the Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael, to keep all of the mitzvahs. And that makes Mashiach very grounded. Mashiach is not esoteric, Mashiach is not prophetic, Mashiach is not miraculous. Mashiach is Yiddishkeit. Mashiach is the Jewish religion. Yiddishkeit requires that we keep all of the mitzvahs. All of the mitzvahs require Mashiach, because only when you have Mashiach do you have Shleimus HaTeira, Shleimus HaSam, Shleimus HaOretz, and this is how the purpose of the Eibishter gets fulfilled. Which, incidentally, explains why Mashiach is one of the Gimel Ikim. Why is Mashiach one of the 30 principles of our faith? The answer is because our faith has to do with Yiddishkeit. Mashiach contributes to the comprehensive, to the complete, to the ideal fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs. Without Mashiach, it's impossible to have Shleimus HaTeira, Shleimus HaSam, Shleimus HaOretz. Yiddishkeit is lacking, and Yiddishkeit needs to be complete. So Mashiach becomes very, very much a religious idea. Mashiach becomes very, very much a mitzvah idea or a halach idea, and so forth and so on. In other words, I'm going to repeat the same thing I just said, but I'm going to use very different language. The language which I will now use is Hasidic language, is neshama language, is pnimius language. I'm really repeating the same thing, but I'm using a different form. Okay? Here's the deal. Is the Eibishter the master of the world, or is he not the master of the world? Is the Eibishter in charge or not in charge? Simple question. The Rebbe, another one of those phrases and expressions that the Rebbe said over and over and over and over again, is he would say it to the children in the rallies with so much negesh, so much emotion. Boire oilam umanhigai. How many hundreds of times did the Rebbe say those words? Boire oilam umanhigai. What do those words mean? Boire oilam umanhigai. They mean that the Eibishter is not only the creator of the world, but the master of the world. In other words, the Eibishter is not the creator who has no control on his world, but he's a creator who's imminently and intimately involved in his world, and he's in charge of this earth. If, as we believe, the Eibishter is not only Beit HaElam, but the Manig HaElam, the Eibishter is involved in this world, whatever the Eibishter wants has to be able to happen. How could it be The Eibishter created a Torah, which is the blueprint of the world. And in the image of that blueprint, the Eibishter created the world. And in the image of that blueprint, the Eibishter created a nation. And he gave that nation his Torah and mitzvahs. How could it be that on his earth, of which he is a balabos, and where he's mashgiach, bashkocha, pratis, and so forth, and so on, he should not be able to fully exact, fully realize the Torah mitzvahs. If the world is the Eibishter's, and the Yidden belong to the Eibishter, how could it be that in the Eibishter's world, Yidden should not be able to keep the Yad mitzvahs? This is it's a very, very serious question. If he's a balabos, he should be able to do whatever he wants. If he can't do whatever he wants, what makes him a balabos? So now, this becomes a new insight into why Mashiach is so important. Again, not for the miracles and not for the exciting, you know, cookies growing on trees and shirts growing on the tree trunks idea of Mashiach, but the religious idea of Mashiach. Mashiach means that what the Eibishter wanted when he created the world, he gets. And if he is the Balabais over the world, that must happen. Because if that doesn't happen, then it brings into question Achdus Hashem, the Eibishter's Balabatishkeit. Mashiach brings about all the Jewish people living on the whole of Eretz Yisrael, practicing all of the Tayag mitzvahs. So this becomes halachically very important. And it also becomes theologically, from a Munna perspective, very important. If it's true, and of course it is true, that Lavaya Ha'aretz Umloya, the whole world and everything within it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to see that Balabatishkeit. And that Balabatishkeit means, to use the expression I used before, Shleimas Ateira, Shleimas Samer, Shleimas Aretz. And all of this is the Halacha of Mashiach, emphasized. The Halacha of Mashiach is that he's a person who kings of the Jewish people and brings the world to its purpose. How? He has to strengthen Das HaEmes. He has to strengthen Yiddishkeit. And the strengthening of Yiddishkeit has to come to the extent, to the point, where all the Jewish people are living in the whole of Eretz Yisrael and are able to practice the whole of Torah mitzvahs. And that's what his halacha criteria is. And I'm reading now, hey, the ale in yonim was from gefelt, all those things that we're missing, in kiyum Torah mitzvahs, in our ability to keep all tayag mitzvahs, in Shleimus Kol Yisrael, because there was a lack in wholeness of the Jewish people. We didn't all live in Eretz Yisrael, or Beis Hamikdash, and perhaps we were lacking in the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Rebbe, "Vet nishlam durch Mashiach." This is Mashiach's achievement. This is his job. When in dem b'shtei, this is the definition of. This is the context of. Vos Mashiach brings tzurik. Mashiach brings back the Shleimus Halachas and Mitzvos Atera, the perfection, the wholeness, the peacefulness. Of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Mashiach has to show that the Eibishter is the Balabas over the world. How do you see that the Eibishter is the Balabas over the world, that whatever he wants happens? And he wants all Tayag mitzvahs to be fulfilled on this earth. For all Tayag mitzvahs to be fulfilled on this earth, you need all Jewish people living in a perfect Eretz Yisrael, keeping all Tayag mitzvahs. And I said before, this is all part of the halacha of what Mashiach is. And I'm reading the next one, Vav. It says, Rebbe Negeh la halacha bepeil. It touches the halacha, legabe di emun abim, how we believe in him. In other words, there's an interface between our emun and Mashiach and Jewish law. As thus, they're gathered for Mashiach, that this criteria of Mashiach, that the emun of Zion requires to have the kind of faith, nid blois as ervet kum, and not only to the fact that Mashiach will one day come, nor maimin, to believe, as Er is Machas, that he brings back Malchus David Leishna, the ancient kingdom of David Malchus, to its original order, but Ki is the next words, V'chezim Kala Mishpatim. He brings Yiddishkeit back. And that's what it says in reading Sayyid. This is from a different Sikha. The Gedef Mashiach is the definition of Mashiach is, V'ser brings Tzirik Dishleimes Halachas Mitzvah Teira. He brings back the ability for us to keep Teira and Mitzvahs perfectly, holy and completely. This is the Halacha of Mashiach. Mashiach is a king. He's the most successful king. He protects the Jewish people. He strengthens Yiddishkeit. And he does it completely. So he brings about Shleimus HaTeira, Shleimus HaMa, Shleimus HaOretz. Because that's his job. Does anybody want to make any questions? or type in any comments at this moment. Otherwise, I will proceed. The question is, three Shleimisen is just because that's what Hashem wants. The short answer to that question is yes. The long answer to that question is that it's really not three Shleimisen. It's one Shleimus. And the Shleimus is, in the language of Hasidus, Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Layis Baruch Dira B'Tachpeinim. And there's a number of sikhs from the Rebbe which indicates that the Rambam agrees with the idea of Dira B'Tachpeinim. In terms of the purpose of Torah and Mitzvahs, Hashem wants this world to be His. He created the world. The world has to reveal His balabatashkeit, His mastery. The three shleimisen are simply the three necessary convergent components to affect it, to make it happen, to bring it to fruition. If you don't have the three shleimisen, this doesn't happen. And while I'm talking on this subject, I want to add an idea which is really not included in the syllabus, but it's still very, very interesting. And that is, the Rebbe has the Sicha based on Rabbeinu Shimon Bavel, where he talks about 770 and so on. But one of the things Rebbe says in the Sicha based on Rabbeinu Shimon Bavel is that when Mashiach comes, every shul and every yeshiva in Chutz Lares is carried and moved to Eretz Yisrael. So there's two sides to this coin. One side of this coin is that every piece of Beis HaMikdash, which is scattered all over the world, is picked up and brought to Israel. The other side to this coin is that there will no longer be Kiddush and Chutz Laretz. Chutz Laretz has sprinkled in Shtiklach Beis HaMikdash. Every shul, every yeshiva, especially big ones, are pieces of Beis HaMikdash. And part of the organization of the world, part of the making the world whole and perfect is that the pieces of Eretz Yisrael that are in Chutz Laretz are moved back to Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Laretz remains pure Chutz Laretz with no pieces of Eretz Yisrael. And the way it works out is that when you take every piece of Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laretz and bring it to Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Laretz remains without any holiness, Chutz Laretz actually also benefits, for reasons that I'm not going to get into at the moment. But this is all part of the same idea. The point I just made is not a halachic idea, it's a mystical idea, it's a spiritual idea. But in the language of halacha, it's what the Rambam is saying. Now your second question is, can we have these three shleimus and still be in gullus? Is that possible? Of course not. No way. No way. The only question you could ask is, can you have these three shleimus without Mashiach, without a person? And it's indicative from the Rambam, the answer is no, because it's the Melech's job to do these things. No king, you don't have the sequence of events that are required to make this happen, because the first building block of the sequence is to make Jewish people safe, to protect Jewish people. And that's the first function of a Melech. The second is to strengthen Yiddishkeit, which involves the three Shleimus. But if you have Shleimus Am, Shleimus Ater, Shleimus Aretz, you have Mashiach. It's just the way it is. Can you have Shleimus HaTeirum? No, without Shleimus, impossible. Because if you don't have all of Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep certain mitzvahs. You'll see later on in this sequence, the last three Arei Miklat were built in Kenich Nizi V'Kadmoni. Until we get those lands, we can't keep that mitzvah. So the ultimate Shleimus HaTeirum mitzvah can only be achieved when you have Shleimus HaAretz. What if with Derech HaTeva, the IDF conquer everything and all Jews make Aliyah? I want to tell you, for IDF to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and for all the Jews to make Aliyah, the IDF and the people who govern them, that means the Israeli politicians, are going to have to start believing in God and believing in Torah and believing in Avraham Avinu. That's Mashiach. Period. End of story. It's never going to happen that Eretz Yisrael with a secular mindset would do that. It defies their very, very basic identity. But okay, let's leave that alone. So we're going to move on, okay? Now the next idea is going to surprise you. And it's very important in the scheme of the Rebbe's Torah, because it demonstrates the extent to which the Rebbe defines Mashiach as Melech, okay? What have we said so far? We've read seven readings. We read two-thirds of a page. We're holding reading Ches on your on page 3 of the syllabus. I'm just going to move this up a bit. We've defined Mashiach as a king. We've defined a king as somebody who first of all makes Jewish people safe, second of all strengthens Yiddishkeit, and third of all, to strengthen Yiddishkeit in its absolute extent, you must have Shleimus HaTorah, Shleimus HaAm, Shleimus HaAretz. It simply can't be any other way, right? Shrei. All of this is halacha. There's no chassidus in this, no mysticism in this whatsoever. This is all nigla, and it's dinim, and it's halacha. I sprinkled in a couple of chassidic ideas, like the Rebbe Tachtonim, like the moving of shuls from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, but the readings, the texts that we read, are strict halacha. Now the Rebbe is going to add another dimension to this. And again, it's going to be strict halacha. You know what the Rebbe is going to say to us now? If a person defines Mashiach by criteria that are beyond the ones we just gave, it's apokursis. Apokursis. If you say Mashiach needs to be a Navi, it's apokursis. If you say Mashiach needs to be a Mamayfis, it's apokursis. If you say Mashiach needs to be a Chaya Mesim, it's apokursis. Why? Because that's not Hilchas Malachim. Kings don't have to be Nevi'im. Kings don't have to be Bali Mayfis. Kings don't have to be Mechaya Mesim. King needs to be Erlecha Yidin. That's it. Look at reading 6. Ches. Va'al Yala al Daitecha. Do not allow yourself to have an Aliyah in your Das, to go up to a higher Madrig, and say, Shemelach HaMashiach Tzarech La'aseis Eiseis, the King Mashiach must make signs. Now the translation of the word Eiseis, at least as I'm going to give it to you, is predictions for the future. If a person predicts the future, he hasn't made a miracle in the world, but his prediction is a miracle. Of course, assuming that he makes an Eis and it comes true. Umoifsim, Moifsim means miracles. What's an example of a miracle? An example of a miracle is that a tree that currently is fruitless, a barren tree, suddenly has fruit hanging on it. In the wording of the Teres Kenim, lintais peiri. You see fruit hanging, dangling from a tree, which is normally fruitless. But notice the language that I use, that the fruit is hanging from the tree. Okay? Next, mechadesh dvarim ba'olam, or to create newness in the world. Mechadesh dvarim ba'olam is very different than a maifis. The difference is maifis means a miracle. Mechadesh dvarim ba'olam means a new teva. What would be an example of a new teva? The example of a new teva would mean that a tree which currently bears no fruit would produce fruit. Fruit hanging from a barren tree means the tree didn't grow the fruit, they wish to put them there. That would be a maifis. Lahoiti peires, asidin ilone srak, shabakola ilam kule. Lahoiti peires is not a miracle where a barren tree suddenly has fruit on it. It's a new nature, that a barren tree is no longer barren, that it actually grows fruit. So these are three separate levels of miracle. Ois means predicting the future. Moifes means breaking teva, making a nes. Mechadesh dvarim ba'olam means creating a new nature, a naya teva, that trees that currently have no fruit will suddenly grow fruit. There's a famous avodas hakodesh, which the Rebbe brings in a sicha, that says that before Chatei Sadas, every single shrub and every single tree had edible food. And one of the effects of Chatei Sadas was that many trees stopped bearing edible fruits. And in Mashiach comes, this is reversed back, and every single tree on the planet has edible fruit as it was before. That's not considered a nes. That's considered a new teva. So the Rambam says, do not attribute to Mashiach miracles, predicting the future. Do not attribute to Mashiach miracles. Do not attribute to Mashiach a new nature. And the last thing is Mechaya Mesim, to bring the dead back. Tchias Mesim. Says the Rabbi, Eina Davakach, that's not the case. Ramam, Eina Davakach, what's his raya? Share. His proof is this. Rabbi Akiva, Chacham Godel, Mechach, Miyamish Nehoi. Rabbi Akiva was, of course, one of the greatest Tanoi. For who haya Nesei, he was a Shamish, Nesei Caleb, he was the arms bearer of Ben Kuziv HaMelech, Bar Koichva. Rabbi Akiva was Meshamish Bar Koichva. Who was Bar Koichva? Bar Koichva was a powerful man. He was a tough king, and I've heard from people they have his documentation. He was a real king. He was a tough, tough, tough man. He wasn't a sweet, nice bubbala. He was a melech, a tough man. and he was frum with the Shemitah mitzvah. He kept Teda mitzvahs and he respected the Chachamim and he followed for the most part what the Chachamim said and so on. But Bakrechva was no tzaddik, Bakrechva was no Navi, and Bakrechva was no Baal Moifes. He was a king. Rav Akiva honored him as a melech. Moreover, Vahu Hayyim and Allah, Rav Akiva said about Bakrechva, Shahu Melech HaMashiach, that he's Melech HaMashiach. And then the Rambam says something which of course is very controversial, as the Ravid points out, V'dima hu, Rav Akiva believed, V'chol chach meideri, and all of the Chachamim of Rav Akiva's generation agreed with him, Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach, that he was Mashiach. Now, were they right or they wrong? Now obviously, it didn't happen. Bakrechva was killed because of his Avedis, and there's different opinions of what his Aveda was. But when they said Bakrechva was a Mashiach, their mistake was not in Halacha. Their mistake was in Metzias. In reality, Bakrechva was not Mashiach. But he could have been Mashiach. Or to use the language that the Rambam used in some other place, he was Mimalcha Yisrael Lakshedim. He was a Kasher Melech. As a Kasher Melech, he absolutely could have been Mashiach. He just factually, actually, didn't achieve everything Mashiach needs to achieve, and therefore he wasn't Mashiach Mepoil. So Rav Akiva wasn't wrong. Rav Akiva didn't make a mistake when he said that Bakrechva could be Mashiach. Rav Akiva was wrong when he said Bakrechva would be Mashiach. So now, if Bakrechva was a frum Yid who protected Jews and strengthened Yiddishkeit and wasn't a Navi and he wasn't a Baal Moifes and he wasn't a person who created new Tevas, he certainly wasn't Mechaya Mason, could have been Mashiach. You are not allowed, listen to me carefully, you are not allowed to say that Mashiach needs to do any of those things. Mashiach does not need to be a Navi. Mashiach does not need to be a Baal Moifes. Mashiach does not need to be a Chaim Esav. This doesn't mean that he's not allowed to do those things. But it would be outside of his halachic criteria. So what is the Rebbe doing here now? The Rebbe is actually limiting Mashiach. He's narrowing Mashiach's definition. Why is the Rebbe doing this? Because the Rebbe is learning Rambam with us. And it's incredibly important to the Rebbe that we walk away from here with a halachic Mashiach, with Mashiach in Din. And Mashiach in Din has a definition. He's a king. And that means, Loipachas Velayesa, he's not more than a king and he's not less than a king. As a king, he has to do all the things we described in reading Aleph through Zion. And he mustn't do any, he doesn't need to do any of the things described in the subsequent readings. He doesn't have to be a Navi, doesn't have to be a Maifis, and so on and so forth. Read tests. Okay? The Ikar Advarim Kochahein. The key about Mashiach is the following. And I want you to know that some of the words in this reading test are not found in the classic Rambams. They were taken out because of censorship. And they were put back in the more modern Rambams, the Frankel Rambams, the Rambam, and so on. It's laws and its judgments never change. Forever and ever. You're not allowed to add to them. You're not allowed to diminish from them. If you add, you diminish. You interpret the Torah in such a way that you take the idea of doing mitzvahs away from the simple definition, which is that they have to be physical rituals we have to practice, hareze bevadai, rosh and apokedis, you are a rosh and apokedis. And in the Yemenite readings, it's badoi, a phony, a rosh and apokedis. Now, what did we just read in reading tests? What did we just read in reading tests? So let me tell you. Ask the average person who's not familiar with the sikh and chelik etchas what this reading is about, and he's going to tell you this reading is about Christianity. Why? Because what does it say in the reading? It says in the reading, "Ein goyden chol amosef ay goyreya gil upon a batayda v'heitzah dvarim shal mitzvus nipshutan." Everybody knows that Christianity is against the Torah and is hepech haTorah for many reasons. The first one is bittul. Rav Tzadik Gaon writes this: the first problem of Christianity is bittul mitzvahs. They broke the barrier between Jewish people and non-Jewish people. They broke down the Atah V'Chatani barrier. And they're Mevatel Mitzvahs. There are other things also. They deified Yashke and so on. But Christianity certainly cancelled mitzvahs. Canceling mitzvahs is fundamentally against the Yidim HaLikrim. If you cancel mitzvahs, you're not practicing Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit says you have to keep as many of the Tayag mitzvahs as you possibly could keep at any time, place, and circumstance. Actually, so the average person reads these four lines and says, of course, the Rambam is talking to Christianity. Christianity presumably came from Jewish people. And Yoshki himself was a Jew. And it's a distortion. Why is it a distortion? Because you're mevatel mitzvahs. Comes again the Rebbe, our Rebbe, and reads these four lines exactly the opposite. The Rebbe reads these four lines to say this: if you insist that Mashiach needs to be a Navi or a Bal Mefes and Chaya Mesim, you are the Badoi Rosh Hanapakedus. Just like you would be a Badoi Rosh Hanapakedus for the Mevatel Mitzvahs, you would just as well be a Badoi Rosh Hanapakedus for being Moishif. What would be an example of a Sofa? Turn to the next page. Turn to page 4 in your handout. We're going to do now reading Yud. And I'm going to scroll down just a little bit if you're looking at your screen so you can see it. Okay, here we go. V'bald gidrei v'inyonei shal Mashiach. Whereas, since we have now clearly defined the criteria and definition of Mashiach, that he is a king, protects the Jewish people, and shleimus von kiyum halachos or mitzvahs ha-teira, his criteria is, to use the cliche that we've sort of coined, shleimus ha-teira, shleimus ha-am, shleimus ha-aretz, he makes Yiddishkeit whole. Is Oib says Oil al Adas, if a Yid says halachically, Shamelach HaMashiach Sodach Lasses Oises, the Mashiach has to predict the future, just predict the future, that's not even a Mephis, just a Navi. Halachas Kama Vakama if he has to be a Mephis, Halachas Kama Vakama if he's Mechadet Varem Shalalam, Halacha Maiz Kama Vakama is Mechayim Esim, so Pale Nashini and Velt, is thus Bestida, it's against the Halacha, so Dem Basateira Zeiz Chukam Meshpetel Yelam. If Yiddishkeit never changes, then the halacha of Yiddishkeit never changes. If the halacha of Yiddishkeit never changed, the halacha of Melech never changes. Mashiach is a Melech. Period. No more, no less. If Mashiach is a Melech, no more, no less, if you say Mashiach has to be a Navi, it's a Pekursus. Now, of course, the Ravid beats up on this Rambam. There's opposition. The Ravid brings Zayas that Mashiach has to be Melech V'don and all the rest. But this is the Rambam's opinion, that since Mashiach is a king, and a king is a halacha, and it's a familiar halacha, we know exactly what a melech is, just like you cannot make Mashiach into something less than a melech, you're not allowed to make Mashiach into something more than a melech. Now make it very clear, this doesn't mean the Mashiach can't be a Baal Mephis, it doesn't mean the Mashiach can't be a Navi, it doesn't mean the Mashiach can't be Mechayim Esim, but it means that that's not part of his definition in halacha. Okay? And that's what the Rebbe just said. Look at your aleph. Gidrei v'nyani melech ha-mashiach. The bechinu and the simen of hamtasi is ei v'nyani ba'atzma is teir of kiyom. He's a melech. And melechim are about Yiddishkeit. Let's just do the last two readings of this section. Yud beis shon nibo b'shnei ha-mashiach. And these are words straight out of the Rambam. And again, the purpose of this, the reason I put this in, is to point out the idea that Mashiach is not a new idea. V'haraya, Rambam says, David is called Mashiach Rishin. Mashiach Sotken is called Mashiach Achrin. If Mashiach is a novel idea that's never happened before, then you can't have an Achrin and a Rishon. It's a distinct category. By connecting Mashiach with David HaMelech, the Rambam is further underscoring the idea that in Halacha, Mashiach is not new. He's old. And then it says in reading Yud Gimel, in Yonei Shalmelech HaMashiach is, his definition is, V'slahachsin Malchus David L'yoshna, he brings back the ancient order of the Davidic kings. It is the Mashiach Achrein Fun Dem Harishayna. He is the last in a sequence of kings that were preceded by many others like him. Mashiach Rishon is David. In other words, Allah Pratim was an Mashiach Rishon David. Everything David HaMelech did, Velm Oich Zayin by Mashiach Achrein, will Mashiach will also do. And conversely, anything David didn't do, Mashiach won't do. There's nothing more to Mashiach than David HaMelech, plus a lot more success. Okay? So we've defined Mashiach. Last week we defined Geula. This week we defined Mashiach. And in a word, Mashiach is a king. Like Pachas v'Le'yeser. Now of course, if you think about what we've just done, you could walk away sort of disappointed. You're making Mashiach into a human being. You're taking away his holiness and his prophetic prowess and things of this sort. It's not true. What we're doing is we're putting Mashiach into concrete terms that are realistic on this earth. Every Yiddishkeit mitzvah. Every Yid has an obligation to make every other Yid keep mitzvahs. Every Yid has an obligation to make Goyim keep Sheva mitzvahs b'nenech if they're so empowered that they have that position. Mashiach is doing what every other Yid does, simply he's doing it more successfully. That's the story of Mashiach. So Mashiach is an incredibly down-to-earth idea. Now I'm going to read your question. Seems like if an Israeli prime minister with Shem Teir or mitzvahs protects the Yidden and encourages the Teir observance, he could theoretically be Mashiach. David the Melech waged lots of wars. The point about waging lots of wars, I don't understand. Mashiach will also wage wars. It says that in Rambam. We're going to get to that soon. As far as a prime minister keeps Teir or mitzvahs, what do you want me to tell you? The easiest thing for me to tell you is yes. Appreciate that a prime minister who with Shem Teir or mitzvahs is not enough. He has to convince the population to go along with him. And that's what Mashiach does successfully. He gets the Yidden to follow him to keep Teir mitzvahs. If an Israeli prime minister with a Shem Teir mitzvahs protected Yidden and got all Yidden to keep all of Teir mitzvahs, could he theoretically be Mashiach? Yeah, perhaps. He would have to be from the family of David HaMelech. And he would have to build the Beis HaMikdash. He would have to expand Eretz Yisrael's borders. They had to collect Yid from all over the world. But all of those things are theoretically possible. Now, can you please explain again Yud Beis about Mashiach? This is word straight out of the Rambam, that there's two Mashiachs. What the Rebbe does, the Rebbe explains reading Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel is the qualification of Yud Beis. And what the Rebbe wants to do in this reading is to make this point. Mashiach's not new, it's old. Mashiach's not unique. He's consistent with the tradition of Malchei David Yehuda HaKshedim. And again, the point is he's grounding Mashiach. He's showing us how Mashiach is part of the tradition of Yiddishkeit, it's part of the history of Yiddishkeit, and it's connected to Halacha. And the proof is that David HaMelech himself is called Mashiach. Okay, if there's no more questions or comments, we'll call it a class. Okay, very good. I'll see you in a week, Mr. Shem.